Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live today here from our studios, and our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Balmy Baltimore, Maryland, I might add. It's like a spring day outside. Well, we're glad to be with you today, friends, and thank you for joining us for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We'll get things started here in just a couple of moments with our live devotional message. That'll be followed up by your phone calls as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and begin to receive your calls. And you can join us with your comments, your questions, perhaps a testimony that would encourage our listeners around the globe, a counseling need that we could assist you with, or your prayer requests. Whatever the nature of your call, we're ready to receive it following today's devotional message. And we hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity and join us live, friends. And you can do so simply by getting to a phone and dialing one of these numbers. The toll-free number, which is the number to dial if you're anywhere in North America, is 800-338-7060. If you're in the local area, here in the Baltimore area, you could join us at 410-483-3700. Everyone else in North America are invited to join us on that toll-free number. And we want to welcome our local listeners here in the greater Baltimore area on WRBS and remind you, of course, that there are, well, including today, just 3 days remaining for our local broadcasts on WRBS. But we also want to remind you that you can still join us live in the Grace Hour at gracehour.org, live on the internet, or Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and any number of podcasts that you can, again, locate us. And the Grace Hour, Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And we look forward to having many of you join us on those many, many different platforms. We'll share some of those platforms with you a little later in the broadcast and hope that you will, again, take full advantage of joining us as we sign off for our final broadcast this Friday, the 25th of February on WRBS. And hope that all of you WRBS listeners will join us at gracehour.org or Facebook Live, YouTube Live as well. Well, our theme this week, facing our changes and challenges, I suppose we could say, and it's a great thing to think about that those changes are always matched by God's wonderful grace. And Pastor Ronaldo Brown in the studio today, he will continue to help us understand better and to develop this great theme, how to face change with God's grace.
Here. It's great to be a part of this program that has changed people's lives on WRBS for many, many decades, actually. We're just thankful for the provision that it has provided us with for the Word of God in our day. Just thinking about provision and just thinking about problems. The reason why we have provision is because we have problems. God said, okay, I'm not going to protect you from the problems. It's just like in Genesis chapter 1. He didn't remove the darkness. He simply brought light. He didn't remove the darkness as a problem because really when you're walking with God, God doesn't see adversity as a problem. He just sees it as change. And he brought in a provision. He brought in a provision. And many of us in our walk with God and our call with God, we have a tendency to see change as a problem. We have a tendency to see challenges and difficulties as a problem. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see the provision of God. It's amazing in our life how much we don't really pay attention to the provision of God until we have problems. And then suddenly the provision of God shines brighter and brighter. In the good times, the provision of God, we don't really pay that much attention to it. We're almost familiar with it. But in the bad times, all of a sudden now the provision of God becomes crucial, necessary. We enjoy it. I'm just thinking about it. When we have these problems, sometimes we think about it as warfare. It's warfare. It's a problem. It's a challenge for me. And how do I handle it? How do I handle the adversity in my life? How do I handle the tests in my life? How do I handle the trials in my life? And our first thought is to fight. It's in us to fight. I'm going to fight this problem. I'm going to fight. I'm going to deal with it. And the verse that I was thinking about when I think about the fight, when I have adversity in my life, is Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, the second part of the verse. The prophet says this: when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and it feels like that when the adversity comes, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He'll lift up a standard against him. That doesn't sound like our methodology for a fight. I want you to notice something in that verse. It doesn't mention you in that part of this verse. It doesn't mention me. It mentions two things: that there's God and there's an enemy. But it doesn't mention me as if I have to do something. And sometimes we want to take the fight to the enemy, and God said it's not your battle to fight. He said the battle is the Lord's. David said in Psalm 18:34, he said, "Lord, teach my hands to fight." In other words, he speaks about in my ministry and my portion on the earth, teach my hands to fight. Teach me how to war. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the way we handle adversity, the way we handle the enemy, the way we handle the fight is not natural. So my natural desire is to fight. And God says, I'm not asking you to fight. I'm asking you to stand. I'm not asking you to fight in Exodus 14:13. I'm asking you to stand. I'm not asking you to fight in Ephesians chapter 6:10-18. I'm asking you to stand. I'm asking you to stand. And I want you to notice, most of us, we think of fight, we think of something that we do physically. We think of something that we demonstratively do. But really, when he starts talking about weapons of warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, and he talks about the fighting, he's really speaking about the mind. He's talking about, you notice in Ephesians chapter 6, the first weapon that's mentioned is really the mind. Why is the mind of God the first weapon of warfare in our fight against in adversity? Because that's where the first battle is. The first battle is in my mind. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's in my mind. When there's adversity in my life, the fight that happens is in my mind. How will I respond to the circumstances? How will I respond to the change? The battle against change happens in my mind. It's always in my mind. So God says, okay, if the battle's taking place in 2 Timothy 2:26 in my mind, and the first weapon of warfare is the mind of God, then that's where it all takes place. It's in the mind of God. The enemy comes in, and he comes in like a flood, and he washes my mind with wrong reactions and wrong thoughts and wrong desires and wrong images and wrong perspectives. And I see it a certain way. And based on the way I see it, that's the way I live and that's the way I fight. And God says, you got to see it differently. You got to have my mind. You got to have my mind about it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when adversity comes in like a flood, when problems come in like a flood, when situations happening and I can't handle it like a flood, when it's too much for me, he says, the Lord lifts up. I like that, because maybe I don't have the capacity to lift up the standard. But God says, it's me that raises the standard up in your life. And who is the one? What is the standard that he raises up? It's the truth. It's the truth. Because when change comes in, what's the first thing I want to do? I want to change. Have you noticed that? When change comes in, your response is to change to the change. And maybe I don't change. Maybe I don't have to change. Maybe God's not telling me to change. Maybe God is telling me to abide. Maybe God is telling me to stand in the standard that God has raised up for my life. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, try the Spirit to see if it be of God. How do I try the Spirit? It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, if you continue to read the verses after try the Spirit, the number one way you try the Spirit, it was with the standard of the Word of God. See, the Word of, because that's the standard I'm standing in. I'm abiding in the Word of God. And when you mention change to me, I'm going to take your change and I'm going to filter it through the Word of God. I'm going to abide in the Word of God. And when you say change, I say, why? When you say change, how come?
when you say, oh, there's a change that comes, okay, this is changing, but I'm not changing. My world is changing, but I'm not changing. Your doctrine may change, but I'm not changing. You may change the way you look at this and look at that, but I'm not changing. I'm going to abide in the truth. That's the provision for my life. That's the standard I'm going to sit in. See, and when I stand in the standard that God has given for my life, I have stability in these changing times. I don't have to meddle with them that are given to change. I don't have to get caught, because when you meddle with those who are given to change in Proverbs 24, verse 21, and in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 22, when I meddle with them, when I become mixed with them, when I become interwoven with them, I come to ruin. Matthew 15, 14, the blind lead the blind and they both fall in a ditch. So I got to be careful in my life as a believer. I don't change for change's sake. Or when change happens, it's okay for things to change. The weather changes, people change, life changes. But there has to be some conviction in my life. There has to be a standard in my life that I can stand in. So when the adversity comes, when the momentum test comes, when the controversy comes, when the challenges come, I can stand in something. I can stand in the provision that God has given me. There's a standard in my life, and it's the truth. When there's a standard in my life, it's something that I stand in. It's something that I follow no matter where it leads. If there's a standard in my life and it's truth, I follow it no matter where it leads. And if people change, I don't change, because it's a standard that I hold up to. It's also a symbol. When I choose a standard for my life, when God has given me his word and I stand in that standard, it's a system of trust. It speaks about something that I'm trusting. It's a picture of my faith. So when I stand in the standard of the truth, Proverbs 23:23, I buy the truth and I sell it not, right? When I stand in that truth, so when things around me are changing and they're going to change, I'm not moved by the change. The change doesn't change me. But I become resilient and I stand in the standard of God. And a standard was also used in warfare. So if there's a warfare in my mind, that there's a flood that comes in my mind, it's okay. It's all right. Maybe I'm overwhelmed in the moment. Maybe it seems like a lot. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe she said this. I can't believe he did that. We can't do this anymore. That's no longer like this. All this change is coming in. And if I'm not careful, I get swallowed up in the change. And all of a sudden, in the flood of change, I'm riding down the river with the change. Ephesians 4:14, I'm tossed to and fro in the flood of change. But I can stand. I can stand in the sea of change. And I can hear from God. He gave me his word. And I can stand. I can stand. And when the flood comes in and challenges the provision of God, I've got the standard of the word of God. And when the flood comes in and challenges the plan of God, I can stand because I have the word of God. And when the flood comes in and challenges the people of God, we can stand because we have the word of God. And when the flood comes in and challenges the purpose of God, I can stand because I have the word of God. The word of God becomes the standard for my life, because there's always going to be words. 1 Corinthians 14:10, all voices have influence. All talk, yak, talk radio is a billion-dollar business. Everybody's got a thought. The internet's even more talking on the internet than even on talk radio. That's so old. Everybody's talking, but yet, where is the truth? Where is the truth? When the enemy comes in like a flood, I need the truth. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit of the Lord that lifts up the truth. He doesn't lift up opinion. He doesn't lift up facts. He lifts up the truth. And the truth is the word of God, the consistent, organized, categorical way of God's mind in my moment, the truth. And I abide in that. That kind of becomes my anchor for my soul. I can stand in that. And when the test comes and things aren't working out and things don't look like they're going to work the way I thought they were, my expectations get dashed, my dreams get broken, the unexpected happens, I have the word of God. I can stand in the word of God. And when I stand in the valley, in the standard of God, when I stand in the word of God, I can receive strength from the word of God and his provision. I can walk by faith in the plan of God. I can see the glory of God and his purpose. So when all these tests and challenges come, and that's an interesting thing, because God doesn't protect us from the test. God does not protect us from the trial. God does not protect us from any of the adversity. He allows it to happen in our life. Calamity will come. Situations will come. Problems will come. Yes, and we're not saying bring it on. We're saying, where is God? And God says, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. It's my voice. Psalm 62, verse 11. I spoke it once to you, and now in the adversity, you hear it a second time. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I heard a message 10 years ago. I heard the message of God this morning. I heard it once. And then between that time and when I heard the word of God, there's another problem that happens in my life. There's another situation that happens. Oh, my goodness, what happened in my life? Now I hear it the second time. The second time, the Holy Spirit in John 14, 26 brings it back to remembrance. I hear it a second time in Psalm 62, verse 11, and now all of a sudden, the standard of God rises up against the flood of adversity, against the flood of change, against the flood of challenges. The word of God rises up. It becomes a dam for me. The word of God becomes a dam for me against the flood of adversity, against the flood of projections, the flood of temptations, the flood of what people have to say, the flood of what people are doing. They can do what they're going to do, but it becomes the word of God. Like Joshua said in Joshua 24, 15 and 16, he says, as for me and my house, there's a standard in my house. There's a standard in my marriage. There's a standard in my family. It is the word of God. And that doesn't make us better than you. That makes us different, because our lives are governed by this standard. So we make our life decisions. We process our life with God based upon the standard of the word of God. So when the tests come, when the trials come, and they will come, right? It says, it's very interesting in the verse, it says, the enemy shall come. It doesn't say it's a possibility. It says, he's coming. He's coming. The enemy of the flesh, he's coming. The enemy of the world, he's coming. The enemy of the devil, he's coming. They're going to keep coming, but we have the standard of God. We stand behind the dam of the word of God, and the word of God repels that. In Matthew 16, the gates of hell, the authority that comes against us are stopped because of the standard of God in our life. And what the devil and the world and the flesh want you to forget is they want you to lift up something else. They want you to lift up smart people, intelligent people, reasonable people. They want you to lift up advice and counsel and all these suggestions and these tactics and these strategies that sound very, very reasonable. But what is reasonable what is reasonable advice versus the word of God? The thing that doesn't fail, the thing that doesn't walk away. The standard in my life when the trial comes and the test comes is the word of God. It's the word of God. That is the key. Because there's always going to be those two oppositions from Isaiah 59. There's going to be two things that oppose each other. There's an enemy and there's a standard. There's an enemy and there's a standard. Every day I wake up, there's an enemy and there's a standard. And I have to choose, will I lift up the standard? Will I lift up the enemy? Oh, I can't believe this situation. Oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Oh, why are they doing that? Oh, it's so bad. Oh, and then what? Now that you're, oh, it's over. Now what? You still got to live. I still got to process life. How am I going to do that? I can process life through pain, or I can process life through the provision of God. There might be pain, but it's got to be God. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. It's got to be his word. The thing that doesn't change, the thing that doesn't lie, the thing that stands forever, that's forever true, that's forever settled in heaven, it's got to be the word of God. And my perspective, my mindset tells me exactly which standard I'm living up. My provision is God's word. My provision is the truth, and I want to abide in that. And there's protection in abiding. There's wisdom in providing, and there's actually profitability in abiding. When he says in John 15, abide in me, what does that sound like? What does that look like? Abide, abide, abide. It literally means I'm abiding in what God, not only the person of God, but the word of God. I abide in three things: the word of God, the person of God, and the work of God. Three things. I've got a trifold abiding in my experience with God: the word of God, the work of God, and the Spirit of God. And by faith, I abide in those three things, and then the word of God becomes my standard for my life, and I process life through God. So as we continue, changes is going to come, challenges is going to come, some of the things that happen in your life, we've done this for years, it's always been like this. Okay, but you know what? God's plan is moving on. God's going on. And I want to continue to not to meddle with change. Things will change, but I don't have to change. There's something God has buried in your heart, his word. Thy word have I hidden thy heart that I might not sin against God. There is a standard in our lives. For every challenge and every change, we have the word of God. That is the standard for our life. Amen and amen.
And amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. And we hope that you will share your thoughts with us as we open the phone lines here on this Wednesday afternoon following today's Grace Hour message. And, you know, one of the greatest comforts I think that all of us can experience and understand is that the changes will come. But we have a God who does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I can imagine all of the changes the sons of Jacob went through. Those changes could have consumed them, but not when you are walking before a changeless God, an immutable, unchanging character of God. Praise God. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. Phone lines are open. We hope you'll join us. We give you that invitation extended to all of our listeners and hope that some of you can find the time to pick up that phone and join us live on our broadcast. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number throughout North America and the local number here in Baltimore and in the greater Baltimore area. You can join us by dialing 410-483-3700. And we welcome your phone calls, comments, questions, your testimony. What about the changes that you have faced in your life? And some of them can be overwhelming. We spoke yesterday when Pastor Schaller joined us in the studio about some, you know, I mean, the loss of a loved one. Imagine that. Talk about experiencing change in your life. The loss of a spouse, divorce, a broken heart, a broken relationship, financial difficulties, maybe not just losing a job, but what about losing that home? And it having it, you know, foreclosed on. These are things and so many more that believers go through. We're not exempt. Those changes that people face in the world, we face those same changes, but with one great big difference, and that is God is with us, and he promises he's never going to change. Join us live, friends. Fill up those lines. We'd really love to hear from you. Some of the folks are weighing in. We want to be praying for our brother, Greg Ott. Texas Greg, we call him here in Baltimore. He's flying back to Texas today for his father's celebration of life. His dad went home to be with the Lord and spoke to Greg the other day, and he's just so grateful that his dad knew the Lord. So they're going. He's going back to celebrate his dad's life. So, Father, bless him as he travels. May he be a source of great hope, encouragement, and comfort to his family members and those that knew his dad. And we just pray that indeed this would be a time where he could celebrate the life of his dad. And how grateful we are that you saved his dad and you saved Greg and you continue to save members of his family. And we pray that souls would indeed be saved during this visit. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us live, friends. Those phone lines are open. We will continue to discuss this great theme and how to face change with God's amazing grace. I can't even imagine facing change without the grace of God. I don't even want to think about it.
It's like there's this mindset with change, particularly piggybacking from yesterday, that most of the time for us, any sudden change is a trauma. We're so change sensitive. If someone changed your parking spot, if they moved your mailbox, if this is what happens a lot of times in relationships, where you've been living single for a long time and you get married, there is this shock from change. Like, who moved that? Why is that over here? I always eat at this time of day. Why are we eating now? It's, we just don't do change well at all. And when you invite somebody into your life, like even Jesus Christ, when you invite God into your life, that's a gigantic change. All of your relationships are different. Your schedule's different. How you handle money is different. Everything that change, like you said, you can't we don't process change well naturally. So you can imagine
with supernatural warfare, trying to process change spiritually. Without God, it's impossible.
You know, some change that happens is probably good. Like, in other words, if we go to work and the boss approaches us, the supervisor, and says, "Hey, I've got news for you. You're getting a promotion. Mm-hmm. You're going to get more money." I mean, that, you know, who can't handle that kind of change?
That's true.
But it's on the negative side of the ledger that we really struggle yeah. with when things are not good, and when we get a phone call that, you know, the caller has bad news to share with us. These are the yeah. things that can shake us. And I think sometimes when it happens, I know in my case, first the response is natural.
Yeah.
And then the response is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I sometimes have a natural reaction, but then thank God, because I think all of us have spent so much time and we've spent so many of our resources allowing God to deposit his word in our minds and hearts that we start to think, wait a minute, let me rethink this. Mm-hmm. And we can start to respond to God, because, you know, we have those two options are always before us when change comes: reaction in the flesh mm-hmm. or response to God by faith. Mm. And all, you know, what can we say? But responding to God by faith is far better than reacting in our flesh. Our good friend Dominique de Piazza over in France says, "Amen, Pastor. Great message. Like when you say, we hear one time the word, for example, you will have tests, changes, suffering in life. And the Holy Spirit brings this word a second time when the trial comes. If I understand well, God is preparing us for the test.
Yes.
We are never without provision. I am now living in a great change in my life." And in Dominic's situation, he lost his precious wife, battled cancer for years. Mm. And he says that I'm feeding on the provision moment by moment that was at one time totally unknown for me. Praise God for his unfailing provision. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, Dominique, you are an example to all of us that are listening today of how to face change with the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And we know that God has given you this measure of grace during this time. And I can recall Pastor Stevens, a message that he preached, that when someone like Dominique goes through what he goes through, he will have an anointing mm. in that particular area of his life to minister to others with.
Wow.
That is powerful. And it's happening. Dominique, God bless you. Thanks so much. And Emil, thanks. Great thought. He says, thank you for sharing that today. Appreciate that. We have to sign off. When that music starts to play, you know that we have to leave those of you that are on our local station, WRBS. So actually, you'll only be hearing that music for a couple more days, because we'll be moving to our hour-long platform after this Friday's broadcast. So there'll be no more half-hour segments. It'll be the full hour-long broadcast without a break. For those of you that have to sign off, thanks for joining us. Join us tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and our engineer's going to put up on the screen for us all of those other platforms that you can listen to the Grace Hour on. And there are many of them, and we hope that when you do, that you like them and share with others, that you tune in and listen to the Grace Hour. And that's a great way to spread the word of God's grace. Mm. Pastor?
I want to continue with the thought you ended the first half on when you mentioned how there's a special anointing in an area, and it brings to mind 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we will be anointed by God to comfort those wherein the way in which we have been comforted. And it's kind of like this. I figured of this verse just now, 2 Corinthians 5:5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. And that's the verse that Elizabeth Elliot said that God gave her the morning that her husband was killed with the Aka Indians. And she had no idea what that verse was about. But then she gets the report that her husband's been tragically murdered on the mission field. And she said this verse prepared her, a verse about preparation prepared her for the tragedy that was going to face her, the great change in her life. She lost her husband. And it's like, I like this thought that you were sharing about how
then she had a ministry about the very same thing toward martyrdom, toward missions. And she actually met the murderer of her husband many, many years later. It was amazing how God took that. So I think that when we pass through things, on the one hand, God prepares me for the tragedy. God prepares me for the change. And then God is going to use the change to prepare me to bless someone else. So it's kind of like the definition of a blessing. It's first for me, and I'm prepared for it, and then it's beyond me. So God does this thing in my life where, okay, this, something's going to happen, or something is happening in my life, and though I don't feel prepared for it, I don't feel ready for it, I'm not even willing for it, God allows it to happen because he's prepared, even temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's prepared me for it with a provision. And then as I'm going through it, he says, I'm going to use you in the experience of what you're going through, and I'm going to use you to bless somebody else. There's an anointing for that. And it's amazing how God does that. It's just wonderful that God's plan is deeper than my perspective. His plan is just so deeper than my perspective.
It is. And as you said, it's for us, because all things are for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. But beyond that, it's for others.
Yes.
And I love that, because it's God's way of saying, I'm not overlooking you.
Right.
This is for you first. Mm. I'm with you. I'm going to be the one that comforts you in your tribulation, in your trouble, in your suffering. But it's not just for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes if we could just look beyond ourselves, we would realize this is going to impact even more lives. As, you know, we used our brother Dominique as an example. I mean, he's going to be able to be a source of consolation, comfort, and hope to others that I cannot be.
Yes.
Honestly. Think about it. I remember reading the story about a pastor who tried to provide comfort to a young woman in his ministry. A young couple had gotten married. They had a child. They lost their child.
Wow.
He met with her for weeks and months, and just was unable to provide a source of comfort that she needed. And then he discovered that there was another woman in his ministry that had experienced the same loss. He encouraged her to go and speak to this other younger woman. Mm-hmm. And when she did, the connection was incredible. The anointing that she had for that other young woman, because it was her way of saying, I have been there.
Wow.
I know exactly what you're going through. And, I mean, who says that to us but Jesus himself?
Yeah.
We have this high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Imagine if we cried out to him and he said, I'm sorry, I wish I could connect with you. I wish I could understand what you're going through, but I can't. But yet, what does he say? Hey, listen, I know what you're going through. I have been there. I'm tested in every way, just like you are, from the cradle to the grave, I know. And nothing brings us more comfort than knowing that. Well, let's go to the phones. Our good friend, Pastor Duke Horton up in, Manchester. That's right. I want to say York, but it's Manchester, Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Pastor Ronaldo, that was an awesome message. Thank you so much. I had an opportunity to share this past Sunday, and I spoke on fight, and I referenced, God gave me a very simple acronym for fight, right? Faith, faith in God's heavenly throne. And then we just developed, you know, because 1 Corinthians 10 and 15, it talks about those things, you know, in the Old Testament are written for our examples. And I just went through three examples. The one was 2 Kings 6. Judges 6, and then 2 Chronicles 20, where it says that the nation of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but then God sent, you know, a deliverer, but it wasn't through them, you know, through bows and arrows or through, you know, their own remedies, but it was God's supernatural deliverance in all those cases.
Mm.
I just, you know, was saying that we don't fight, you know, like you said, we don't fight with carnal weapons. Our fight is not with, you know, with our fleshly inventions or our own methods, but we just rest, and then God does the fight. We stand still and let God do the fight. And mm-hmm. boy, what a fresh message, Pastor Rinaldo. So awesome.
Amen. I like how you said that. You echoed the verse. We don't fight with carnal weapons. The problem with why we do is because they're useful. I mean, the carnal weapons have a use. So you often want to grab what is useful, right? But what's not of God. Like sometimes, or I'll say this way, we can take a tool. If you ever work with tools, sometimes you can take a tool that's not meant to be used a certain way, and you can kind of use it to get the job done, but it's not what you're supposed to use. So a lot of times you see guys with cars and different things. They just invent tools. I'm just going to make this tool fit this way. And God says, you don't have to invent a tool for your situation. You don't have to invent a weapon. You don't have to craft a weapon. You can simply let me raise up the standard and let the battle be won my way. But it's so easy to make your own weapons. It's so easy. I'm going to use tactics. I'm going to use reverse psychology. I'm going to use clever creative communication. I'm going to use things, tactics that I've used maybe my whole life. And God said, I'm going to give you the same problem you had 10 years ago, but you're going to down fight my way.
Amen. Hey, God, I have an acronym for STAND. See the Almighty's now deliverance. Amen.
Wow.
Boy, you got a number of acronyms here today, Pastor Duke. Appreciate that. You're educating us.
Country boy, I need him.
Amen. Hey, thanks for the call. God bless you.
Thank you. Love you guys so
Thank
much.
You know, that illustration of using one tool in place of another, I've done that. Yeah. I've used a wrench as a hammer.
Here we go.
It doesn't work well.
This does not work.
Sometimes it gets the job done, but it's not the right tool.
But you feel effective, right?
Well, yeah. something's got to be pounded.
Yes.
If it's made out of metal and it's big enough, let me use a wrench or anything else I can find.
Or the brick hammer, yes.
Yeah. Or the brick itself. All right, let's go back to the phones. Before we take our next caller, though, we want to mention that the Grace Hour is now available on all these different podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. You can find all of these platforms and more. And again, you can subscribe or follow us to find our episodes whenever you want to listen to them. Isn't that great? Mm. You can still listen and watch the Grace Hour live via YouTube, Facebook Live, and gracehour.org. All the archives are available there as well. So that's great. And we're preparing you, friends, because again, just after today's broadcast, just two more days on our live local station, and then it'll be all online after that. So you can still listen to us. Let's go to Brian next. Thanks for holding on, Brian, and being patient. Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, hi. Thank you, pastors. I was thinking of the standards that God gives us in His Word, that the trials and tribulations that I go through since I've been a Christian, that the ultimate goal that God has in my life and in our lives is to conform us into the image of His Son. Mm-hmm. So I take heart in that, and that God is doing a work in me, and I just need to keep going forward and get fed from the Word, hang around the body, hear messages, and just glorify God with my life. But the fact that Christ is being formed in me is quite a comfort and a standard for me to think about from time to time. So that's what I was thinking.
It's beautiful. And, you know, the great thing about that is it's just a promise that we cling to, that we're going mm-hmm. to be conformed into the image right. of God's Son. We don't even know how that's going to happen.
Mm.
And I think that God is, in His goodness and in His grace toward us, He doesn't show us. Imagine if God showed us the future. I don't think any of us would want to go there.
That would be a problem.
Yeah, because we would see what's going to happen without having the provision from God before we got there.
Yeah.
So that would just create fear and anxiety and worry,
right.
and God knows we don't need that.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, God's doing the work.
He is, and He's faithful to get it done. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
800-338-7060, that's toll-free, and the local number 410-483-3700. And Pastor Gary, Barbara Witt,
hey.
Upstate New York. I think it's upstate New York. Maybe central New York. I don't know.
It's central upstate. If we get it wrong, he'll tell me.
Okay, well, he can tell us. But we're open to be corrected.
I'm thinking central.
You're in New York State. How about that? He's a great message, Pastor Rinaldo. We've been speaking lately from James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy.
Yes.
Count, he says. Well, if we could scroll down a little bit, lost it there for a second. He says, count, that word count. Let's see, is an accounting decision.
Uh-huh.
I can go up a little bit. Based on the objective truth outside of ourselves and not on the inward subjective emotions. We have God's promises that James writes in verses 3 and 4, knowing this.
Uh-huh.
And in Hebrews 11:25 concerning Moses, the word there is esteeming. It is a fascinating word. I looked at that word myself a long time ago, and it means, when it says, count it all joy, it means that you, by faith, you leap ahead into the future. In other words, you're not looking at the present circumstances because they may be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the present trial produces joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you understand the trial is going to ultimately produce.
Wow.
So you kind of, by faith, you leap ahead. You might say something like this. This present trial is not very pleasant. But I know that God is at work, and I know something great is going to come out of it.
That's good stuff. Yeah. That's really good. Wow. Leaping ahead by faith. Yeah.
Sometimes we have to do that.
Yeah, because you can't see that. The thing is, sometimes you've got to close your eyes naturally to open your faith. I mean, literally, it sounds interesting in that, because you're like, okay, this I don't want to deny the reality of what I'm going through. I'm going through something. I am going through something. It is real and it's happening. And I don't want to live in denial and I don't want to pretend like it's not happening. So it's happening, but here's where the challenge comes in and here's my buy-in. Here's how I get involved in what's happening, how I respond to that. And that is governed by my perspective. And if according to Pastor Love and Pastor Witt, if I've got that James 1:2 perspective, then I'm not going to let what's in front of me talk to me. Because it's talking to me, and I'm not listening. I'm going to leap ahead by faith and say, wait a minute, this is not all that I have. Because if all you have is all you see, then you don't have much.
Yeah.
You don't have much.
Amen. You know, we just finished up a Zoom meeting with the precious folks at work down at Johns Hopkins University. And our scripture was 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's something that we constantly have to remind ourselves about. And just to highlight what you just brought out, Peter, in his first epistle, he wrote to the believers and he says, you're greatly rejoicing, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold tests and trials. Now, there's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
You can rejoice even though you're experiencing this heaviness because he said this, verse 7. Because you know the trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold which perishes, even though it's tried with fire, it might be found of the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love that balance because this business, this idea that Christians say, you're always supposed to be happy, you should always be smiling, there should always be a skip in your step. Now, that just simply is not reality.
Yeah.
I have asked people have asked me, how are you doing? At times they said, listen, at the moment, not great, but I believe that God is up to something. I know that he's at work. But right now, heaviness.
Yeah.
But what's coming? Great joy and celebration because God is at work.
Yeah, I have to have, if I can't look beyond what's happening to me, it's going to drastically affect how I move. I don't move, to be honest with you. That's why a lot of people freeze, because they can't see beyond what they're seeing. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we looked at things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And when someone says, well, you're not being realistic. Well, realistically, something is happening. I'm functioning on a higher level of reality. There's two realities. There's a natural reality and there's a spiritual reality. That's Colossians 3:1-3. So I'm making a decision by faith to elevate my thinking beyond what I'm seeing. And I'm looking to him. I'm looking to him. And maybe I don't have all the answers, but I'm looking to him because, like Pastor Love just said,
I see something better in him. Or maybe I can't see what the better is, but I see him. Hebrews, I see the better one. I see Christ. Okay, Christ, you're better than what I'm looking at. I'm going to look at you. And then I'm going to trust you that looking at you is going to produce something beyond this. Because it's not like God comes in and says, you're going through this situation, and here's what I'm going to do in the future. You may not know what that is. In other words, it might be like, okay, I'm going through this situation, and I'm not going to tell you right now what's going to happen. It's just going to be me and you. And then whatever happens, know it's me and you. Like Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, he says, Israel, I will work a work in your day that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. So it's not like I'm going to work a work, but I can't explain everything I'm going to do. But the look ahead, the joy, right? Zechariah 4:10, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my, I'm sorry, what's wrong? Nehemiah 2:10, excuse me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I find joy in the Lord, so I find joy in the future, even though I don't know what's going to happen. How can you be joyous about something you don't know? Because I know who's behind it.
Amen.
It's God.
Here he is. The phone lines are open. Join us. 800-338-7060. That's toll free. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. You know, we shared this morning with our young people in our Christian day school. Jacob, he cried out, you know, when things were not going well, you know, his son, Joseph, he thought was lost, dead. There was a famine in the land. He sends his sons to Egypt to buy grain. When they return, they are without their youngest brother, Benjamin. And Joseph, you know, Jacob finally gets to the point where he says, look, he said, all these things are against me.
Mm.
I mean, that's what it means. And that usually happens when we walk by sight.
Mm-hmm.
You think about what Jacob said, everything is against me. And contrast that to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, all these things are working together for my good. I mean, one cries out, and really, Jacob didn't see it.
Right.
He couldn't understand it. But my gosh, instead of these things being against him, are you kidding me? They were all working together for his good and for the promotion of God's glory. I mean, if Joseph isn't sold as a slave in Egypt, the nation perishes in a famine. But Joseph is sold ahead of time into slavery. Benjamin is kept there by Joseph, unbeknownst to his brothers. And Joseph is the one who said, listen, you, my brothers, what you did to me, that was wrong. That was sin. That was evil. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Genesis 50, verse 20 is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
Yes.
And that's how we have to look at life. It's easy to look at life by sight and say, everything's against me. I can't pay the mortgage. I don't know how we're going to put food on the table. They're going to repossess the car. I don't know how to fix this marriage. I don't know what to do in my local church. I'm having a hard time. I mean, you could go on and on. Make your own list. You could easily, any one of us could say it at any given time. Everything's against me. But what do we confess? God's at work, and he's working all things together for our good.
Could you say this, Pastor Lev, that maybe if we felt like we deserved it, we could deal with the trauma or the things against me better? Can you imagine Joseph for a minute? At what point in the story does he feel as if this is my fault? Because a lot of believers have that. When they go through the struggle, when they go through the trauma, they take on the accountability that it's me. What's the disciples? What sin did this person's parents do? Isn't it easy when things come against you to take the guilt, to take the blame for it? You almost justify it like, yeah, this had to happen because. But when you can't justify it, that's when you're confused.
Mm.
Your faith is shipwrecked.
Yeah. I think we have to hear what Jesus said to his disciples. I mean, here are these theological giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who sinned, Lord? They're looking at the man born blind. Who sinned? Was it him? Was his father? As you said, too many believers make that connection between sin and their struggle, between sin and the bad circumstances that they find themselves in. But I love the answer from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, neither one.
Wow.
Neither one. In other words, it was like Jesus is saying, Peter, you get an F. Bartholomew, you get an F. James, you get an F. They all failed.
He went Oprah on them. Yeah,
exactly.
You get an F, and you get an F, and
exactly.
You get an F, and all of you get an F.
Nobody. Because this doesn't have anything to do with sin.
Wow.
This has to do with God being glorified.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I mean, that's why he was born blind.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think about that. Jesus would say to Mary, or God would say to Mary, would you like to, can we borrow your womb to bring my son? Yeah. Oh, Lord, thank you. What an honor.
Yes.
You know, right?
What the pleasure. Yes.
Yes. I mean, you know, all of the, Jonah, could I use you to bring? Yes. Okay, Lord, I'll struggle with that. But at the end, I'll do it. And, you know, you could go right down the line.
Yeah.
Then he comes to this guy. Would you like to be born blind? Well, geez, Lord, here I am. Can you get somebody else?
I'm in the wrong line.
Yeah. But that was his assignment.
Wow.
And it didn't have to do, well, it didn't have a single thing to do with it. It's like Job's friends.
Yes.
Job, let us tell you something. The reason why you're suffering is because of your sin.
Did something.
Had to.
Christians still say that. The reason why your business is not blessed, you did something. The reason why your marriage didn't work, you did something. The reason why your car broke down, you did something. And you take that on. It doesn't go on the cross. It goes on you.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Well, this is how God allows you and I to deal with the changes that happen in our lives. But there will never, ever be a single challenge for which there is not grace.
Amen.
I love what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says. I'll read it to you. It says, as every man has received a gift, even so let us minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, that word manifold means many-colored or many-sided grace of God. Poikilos is the Greek word. That's fascinating because whatever side the trial reveals in your life, trust me. Well, no, trust God. There is a side of grace for it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it is. And again, our brother Dominique earlier in the broadcast, I mean, I think that's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he lost his wife.
Yeah.
You talk about life change units, how many he experienced, that has to be over the top. But has God met him with his provision of grace? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And whatever the need is, it's almost like if you come to God and you need, you know, if you come and you bring a bucket, God will have a bucket of grace for you. If you come with a wheelbarrow, he'll have a wheelbarrow of grace for you. If you come with a dump truck, he'll have a dump truck of grace. Whatever grace you need is the grace that God promises to provide.
You reminded me of Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's enough. That's so amazing. There's enough. There's enough. Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
I think we might have shared it earlier in the week. I'm not sure, but I love the story of a grandfather who brings his granddaughter to the ocean for the very first time.
Mm.
And she's never seen it before. And she marvels. They just stand at the seashore and she watches one great wave crash and then another come in. And she literally, having never seen the ocean before, says to her grandfather, when does it stop? And he looked at her and said, it doesn't.
Mm.
That is how God dispenses grace towards those who are humble enough to receive it.
Wow.
It never stops.
Yeah.
It just keeps coming. There's more grace. He giveth more grace to the humble. And that's the only condition, right?
Yeah.
That we humble ourselves before God and not say, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't want to appear before God like a beggar.
Yeah.
Come on. Gotta humble yourself.
Retain my pride.
Exactly.
Let me get the grace and remain me.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a prayer request from Thelma, our dear sister, requesting prayer for her daughter-in-law in Boston, stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
Please pray for her. Well, Father, we do. We don't have a lot of the details, but we know that stage 4 cancer is the most serious. And if it's at and has reached this stage, we know that you may be the only one that can make a difference here. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, first of all, for comfort in her soul, and that you would speak to her words of hope, encouragement, and comfort. And if you, well, we know you can heal her, but is that what you want to do, Lord? Because if it is, we know you'll be glorified. And more than anything else, we want to see you glorified. So be glorified in this situation. Bring healing. Hear the cries of your people on behalf of Thelma's daughter-in-law. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So as we get ready to wrap up today's broadcast, Pastor Rinaldo, some final thoughts on how to face change with God's grace.
Yeah, I like the way you've been talking in the last part of the program about just the provision of God himself, his character, his nature. I don't have to be myself. But to always be yourself, I don't have to be myself when I go through these changes and these trials. I can actually rest in who he is. I can rest in who God has shown himself to be. And maybe I'm not a theologian or I haven't memorized the Old Testament or whatever, but it could be a simple promise from God. What I know about God, I rest in that in the moment because that's the provision that God has given me. And I rest in, it might be a single verse, I rest in something that I know is true about God. And what's true about God becomes true for my life. And then his grace is sufficient. There's enough grace in whatever God has given me about himself. No matter how small, there's enough grace in it for my moment.
And sometimes to get there, it can be a bit of a learning process.
Yeah.
You think of Peter when he was on the boat with Jesus and he cried out because of the storm with fear. And he actually said to Jesus, "Don't you care?
Yeah.
Don't you care that we perish?"
Yeah.
And yet it was Peter who, when writing his first epistle, would say these words, "Casting all your care upon him."
Yeah.
"Because he cares for you." He learned that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at one time he questioned it.
Yeah.
But now he's writing to believers throughout the history of the church,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling them, "You can count on him because he cares."
Beautiful.
Well, friends, we want to thank you for joining us for this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. And, of course, we haven't mentioned it yet, but this is a good time to do it. Tonight, we have our church service, our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We are located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore, and our church service begins promptly at 7 p.m. And everyone is welcome. Again, there is a junior church program provided for the children. There is a mother's room for the newborn and a nursery for the younger ones as well. So again, we've got all of the family covered. You as the adults and young adults can come into the church service and be encouraged from a message from the Word of God, and a great time of worship, fellowship to follow. It'll be a great night. And I love the Wednesday night service because it's right in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do they call Wednesday? Hump day?
They do.
Well, it's because you're in the middle of the week, can be a little bit overwhelming, but guarantee you come out tonight, you'll get over that hump by God's grace. So all are welcome. That's 7 p.m. tonight. Once again, we're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. So come on out and join us. If you're able to, friends, we encourage you to join our fellowship tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. Tomorrow's broadcast, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, a taped message from the host of the broadcast, founder of the broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens, entitled "Divine Provisions for Our Momentum Tests." Don't miss that coming up tomorrow. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.